I wish that there wasn't so much bad baggage, especially of my own, where, like, I wish that it wouldn't feel as bad as it does when someone finds it funny. Is someone finding something funny in, like, a really genuine way doesn't have to be hurtful because they're not trying to, you know, make a point or, like, take you down. But I feel like I have so much history and kind of, like, baggage of feeling badly about it that, like, automatically comes up, even if someone just smiles. Yeah. Which sucks because it doesn't really have to be that heavy, but I'm not really sure how to change that.
Hi everybody, and welcome to Stutter Talk. I'm Joel Cordy. And I'm here along with the other B-Team co-hosts, Roisin McManus.
Hey, guys.
And Karen Herring.
Hey, guys.
And this is actually the first time that I've ever brought the show in. We just figured that out, so I don't really know what I'm doing right now. But if you want to contact... us, we have an email address that is bteam@stuttertalk.com, and we've been really getting in some great emails lately. Also, if you just want to contact Stutter Talk in general, or you have a question for Peter or a suggestion for an episode or whatever, that's stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. And today we are going to be discussing a topic that is, in my opinion, pretty complicated. And it is, when is it okay or not, or is it ever okay to laugh at stuttering? And Karen, I believe you had a story that you wanted to share, or a comment, or an idea.
Yeah. The past, I guess, 2 weeks or so, I've had sort of two things happen with clients that I've been seeing, and they both really made me think about, like, if stuttering is a funny thing, or can be a funny thing, or sort of the whole idea of making it a joke, or some people seeing it as more than what it might be. That wasn't a full sentence. So I guess I'll share both of the quick little stories. The first one is, I was working with a young girl. I believe she's like six. And she's coming in not for stuttering, but for sounds. Like, she has a hard time saying a few sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working with her for...
We call that articulation in the biz, right?
Yeah, I just didn't know if everyone else would know what that meant. and I have been working with her for a while now, but I guess... I don't know. She never heard me stutter, or I'm not really sure what. Or maybe I was just having like a very stuttery day. But it seemed like she picked up on it more than she typically does. And she started to laugh. And I was explaining to her that, like, oh yeah, sometimes when I talk, my words get stuck. It's just how I talk. And she was like laughing and laughing, and she was like, that is so funny. And I was like, you know, it really makes me feel sad when you laugh at me. And she was like, yeah, but it's really funny.
Oh, no.
And, like, no matter what I said to her, like, to her, it was just funny. And granted, she's six. But it just, like, got me thinking, like, to her, it was nothing more than I sound really funny.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have the filter yet to be like, that's not a appropriate thing to do. And I don't know. It was just like, I couldn't be mad at her because it probably did sound funny. But it was just like, I don't know. It sort of got me thinking about that response. And then, like, the next day, I was working with a kid that stutters. He's, like, eight. And he had met someone else who stutters for the first time. And I was asking him, like, what that was like. And he was like, well, his stuttering was really funny. And I was like, you mean what he said was? And he's like, no, his stuttering was really funny.
Hmm.
I just, like, thought that was, like, it was, like, just so close after the first thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the whole thing. I've only found stuttering funny, I guess, when it's on myself. Or someone that I know really well.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny? It's like pretty much those two exact same things have happened to me. Well, I guess not the exact same context, but more or less pretty much the same. So if you think it's probably more prevalent than we realize that silly stuff like this happens. Just real quickly, my experiences were, well, one time I went in to talk to my mom's, I think it was second grade class or third grade class, she's a teacher, about stuttering, and one of the kids just was like laughing the entire time, and then, well, until we told him that that wasn't okay to do. Then he pretty much stopped. another time is, I know I've talked about this week-long day camp I partake in for kids who stutter. And one of the kids, he's probably like in like fourth or fifth grade, I would always see him laughing at me. But let me ask you this, wow. Karen, how did you respond to it? Like, how did you, I mean, cause I'm sure you had some kind of response to it.
Yeah. I mean, with the, I don't know, with the younger girl, I just tried to sort of make her see that her old laughing didn't make me feel good.
Sure.
But I don't know. I feel like I see people laughing often when they're uncomfortable. But in these two situations, like, it's possible that part of it was being uncomfortable. But it seemed like they, like, legitimately just thought that it was, like, a funny thing.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I've just never, I don't know. I don't really know where this conversation is going other than it just, like, really made me think.
That's what I was going to kind of comment on also. That I've been in a situation where people smile or laugh, but I can usually tell that it's because they're not sure what to do. But it's really interesting that these two kids were, like, 100% confident that it was just hilarious. Like,
yeah.
And like, and the one kid was like, no, essentially what he was saying is it's the physical stuttering that's hilarious.
Yeah. And, like, that was interesting, too, because this kid stutters.
Yeah.
So we, I was like, well, is it funny when you stutter? And he's like, no. But, like, something about someone else going through that was somehow funny to him.
As you know, I've experienced that same thing with, it's like, I don't know. It's like the especially younger kids have trouble with empathy, even if they have the same issue. And I've noticed even in that camp I was talking about, where kids will make fun of other kids, especially if it's their first experience with other kids who stutter. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're not making the connection that, hey, I stutter too, and that's I don't like it when kids make fun of me. But at least in my experience, it seems like the kids, once they're able to make that connection where it's like, well, geez, it doesn't feel good when people make fun of me for my stuttering, so I shouldn't do it to others. Once they're able to make that connection, they stop.
Right. The thing was, I don't even think they were trying to be mean or to tease.
It was just like the way that kid stutters is humorous to me.
Yeah. And like, I can almost relate to that sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about this at least one time at an NSA conference where, correct me if I'm wrong, where there was certain situations or contexts where if you're around other people who stutter, that it could be kind of funny, but it would kind of have to be a special situation.
Right, and it's hard to pinpoint what that situation would need to be, because sometimes stuttering is really funny, and it's okay to almost pick fun at yourself or at other people that are your friends, and sometimes it's really not.
Yeah. What do you think, Roisin?
I think that I can understand why stuttering can be funny, and I wish that there wasn't so much bad baggage, especially of my own, where like it. I wish that it wouldn't feel as bad as it does when someone finds it funny.
Yeah.
Because I would like to just be able to, if someone finding something funny in like a really genuine way doesn't have to be hurtful, because they're not trying to, you know, make a point or like take you down. But I feel like I have so much history and kind of like baggage of feeling badly about it, that like automatically comes up, even if someone just smiles. Yeah. Which sucks, because it doesn't really have to be that heavy, but I'm not really sure how to change that.
Do you think that's the same if like a friend made a joke?
I have had like a couple experiences where like really good friends make a joke about stuttering, and I still remember them as being, I like laughed it off and like acted like it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, but I still remember feeling like that like that was not cool at all.
Do you think that's true for friends who stutter too?
Oh, Probably not. No. Well, I mean, I think that jokes about stuttering don't offend me, but if it's jokes about my stuttering, like something specific to me about stuttering, it still kind of strikes a chord in me.
Yeah. Like, I remember, I forget the exact story. I'm not sure if you were there for this, Roisin. Jamie was telling a story at some point where, I forget it was her or she was talking to someone else, but someone made a comment that this stuttering sounded like an excited dolphin.
Oh, yeah.
It was so funny.
She was commenting on Marianne stuttering.
Like, that is funny. Yeah. And, like, I guess it's not if this person that, like, makes that remark is trying to be mean. But I don't know. Like, I think that is so funny.
I remember that. And I always thought that was hilarious.
You know, I think that we might have actually talked about that on one of the first times we recorded together. Because that stands out to me. Yeah. And, like, that was one instance that it seemed like everybody could agree on. Where it was sort of funny to really, I mean, you're really laughing about the physicality of someone's stuttering, which definitely can be very hurtful, I think. But in that particular instance, it was like okay.
But yeah.
It's definitely not always okay.
So I guess there's just no rules about this.
Yeah,
you just have to, like, sense when it's a fine time to joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I feel like humor is so complicated. It's like we find the things, quote-unquote, funny for so many different reasons, and they're usually not just because it's, like, just simply ridiculous or like a coincidence or something just, you know, like innocently funny. It's usually a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm still definitely not at that point where I feel like totally comfortable if someone who doesn't stutter is making any kind of joke about stuttering. It's like, hey, wait a second. I think it'd just be like, you know how a lot of comics, if they are, if they're have something about them that's stereotyped or anything like that, it's kind of like they have a free pass to make fun of it. But if you're not, then it's just kind of like weird.
Yeah. What about someone that, like, really understands stuttering but doesn't stutter?
I'm sure someday I'll get to the point where that'll be okay with me, but it's still just a little, like, I'm just a little too sensitive about it where it's like, come on, man, you don't really, I don't know. Maybe it's just, I just don't feel that person should be joking about it, but
yeah.
Like I feel like humor can be used to, like, lighten a heavy load. And if you're the person carrying the load, then, like, using humor makes sense. But if it's someone who doesn't have that same, you know, burden or experience or history, I feel like there's no like kind of reasonable way to make a joke about it.
I think that's a really good way to put it. And like I said, I definitely think it transcends stuttering. It's
right.
Not just stuttering. It's anything that someone has to deal with that's hard.
Good question, Karen.
Yeah, good job, Care Bear.
Thanks, guys.
Was that you that coined that, the name Roisin?
I think so.
Well, you wanted to start the trend, and Karen,
I do
was
not
like,
like
no.
that name.
Karen, I think it's like so it. Great because it's so like not like you're not like a care. I don't know. I mean, obviously you're not a care bear, but
this is a little off topic, but I was I went to NYU grad school today to talk to the grad students about stuttering. And I guess it was part of their assignment to listen to stutter talk. And it was like so strange. Like, I know what we say on here gets like put on air, but it was like, I had that conversation with Joel. How did you know that? It was just like so weird.
Wait,
they're like,
what?
Yeah, so we hear that your stuttering hasn't been the same.
Oh.
Like, what?
You know what? I have to say, Karen, I really like how, well, the last two episodes, this episode and the last episode, I feel like you're, like, allowing us to talk about things that are more personal to you. Whereas before, it sometimes it would be like, well, no, nothing's new, nothing's going on. But it's like, I know there's got to be some stuff going on sometimes. So, you know, the fact that you were willing to talk about how you were noticing some different stuttering, and now that, you know, the topic you brought up today, I think that's kind of, I don't know, is that something that you've noticed or been conscious of, or is it just
no? But okay. I appreciate it.
Well, I think it's great.
Thanks, Joel.
Yeah. Karen's just opening up, like she just the next episode she just like starts talking about all this stuff that we didn't know about or something. Because I feel like sometimes I can be a little too open.
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
Me too. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything important.
While I was at the NYU talk today, I got a lot of different cool questions, and a lot of them were having to do with like the therapy I've had in the past and where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling them how I wasn't in therapy now. And I got the question, like, what am I trying to work on? And it sort of, like, took me aback. Because since I'm not in therapy, I don't really think I'm working on really anything.
Yeah.
But I know, like, I feel like I'm in such a great place. But I'm sure I'm not at the end. Like, I'm sure there's always stuff to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, that really made me think, too. Yeah.
You know, I actually think about this a lot because I feel like I'm in a good place and I don't worry about stuttering a whole lot. But for just the layperson that I would come across that doesn't know who I am, like, they have to think. Well, I know, like, that they have to think that, like, whoa, that dude stutters. Like, man, that guy really, really stutters. Like, I've seen, like, even one time my coworker told me, he's like, I asked him if he had ever known anybody else who stutters, and he was like, well, you know, I think so, but not like you. You know? So it's like,
I mean, you stutter.
From on the surface, it's, you know, it's like, that guy has a problem and he needs to do something about it. But inside, I don't feel like that's necessarily the case.
I feel like a remark like that would, like, really hurt me. Even though I know that I stutter,
mm-hmm.
someone, like, saying it, like, no, like, you stutter a lot.
Yeah.
I'd be like, don't judge me.
Well, I know, I've actually, I think maybe this is, like, bothers me a little more than I let on, because I know I brought this up before on the show, how there was that one time where I was watching a video of a stuttering client I was going to have, and I was watching another student clinician who I was a classmate with a supervisor, and the clinician started to talk about me and some, you know, bit of insight I had offered up in class, and she was like, yeah, and he's you know, more severe. I was just like, it really weirded me out, and at first it hurt my feelings, but then it, you know, once I thought about it more, I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, you know, how other people perceive you.
Yeah.
And I guess to some degree it's been part of my journey to accept how I sound and what kind of disfluencies I have to deal with. 'Cause I think for the longest time, especially when I was in college or whatever, you know, it's weird. Like, you take some comfort in thinking to yourself, oh, you know, you see someone stuttering or whatever on television or in a movie, and you think, oh, but mine's not that bad, you know? And you, like, you take like this weird comfort in it, but then, you know, when you start to make progress in your speech and allowing yourself to stutter and allowing yourself to work through the physical overt characteristics of stuttering, so that there's just a lot more stuttering present, you have to become comfortable with that on all sorts of different levels, I think. So, sorry, I digress. I'm not sure, where that came from.
No, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I think it's hard, or for me, it's hard to, like, I'm okay openly stuttering, and I'm okay people hearing it. But I also, I have a hard time when I have to come to terms with the fact that certain people think it's a big issue.
Yeah. Like, oh, you know, I have a story. This just totally reminded me, but sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just like I had one woman that I work with who like, you know, I can tell that, like, she's very concerned for me. And I don't have that reaction a lot from people.
Yeah.
But I can tell that she's always trying to, like, tell me, ask me if I've done this or done that. And they're usually, like, completely insane, like, superstitious, spiritual things that people do to stop stuttering.
Yeah.
That's, like, her background. But it really makes me uncomfortable. I just, like, it kind of, like, in that moment, it puts the thought in my head, like, does everyone that I talk to think, well, like, wow, she's brave, and she really has to, like, the next step for her is to fix it.
Yep.
And, like, and I still haven't come to a place where, like, I can be at peace and knowing that people think that and still just feel okay being myself. It's, like, hard.
Gosh, I could just relate to that so much. I was telling Karen a little bit about this, I think, on the last episode, where I recently had an opportunity to give a speech in front of high school students, because in my old high school, after my brother died, they renamed this essay contest in his honor because he won the essay contest when he was in high school, and my parents are giving some scholarship money for it. Anyway, I was asked to speak this year, and I was like, yeah, sure, you know, totally excited to do it. And I think what I was telling Karen about it is that it still feels insane to me that I don't even really get nervous or worry about speaking in front of large groups, and I certainly don't really get concerned about stuttering. I mean, really, the whole experience isn't really frightening or alarming at all. It's sort of pleasurable, and I kind of look forward to public speaking because it's kind of fun. But anyway, you know, so I'm up there, and I felt like I spoke really productively and, you know, was really happy with how I managed my stuttering. But for me, that also means there's going to be a lot of surface stuttering. So for the feedback I got from several people, it's just, you know, and I used to get this all the time, and it felt good because it fit with where I was at and was consistent with what I was feeling. But people would be like, oh my God, you're so brave to get up there. Like, oh, you know, conquering your fears like that and blah, 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 and just like this and that. And it's like, it sounds great and everything, and it's still kind of nice to hear, but the truth is, like, it wasn't hard at all. Like, I didn't conquer any fears. It was, like, not a big deal. It was, like, the easiest thing ever, you know? But, yeah. you know, to them, to someone just hearing someone stuttering a lot, it's like, some people, it's like, oh wow. And in a way, it's just kind of annoying for me to hear that. And I was trying to explain that to some people. And my dad, he was around, and he was kind of laughing because he really understands what I'm saying. And he really gets it, where it's like, no, really, like, it wasn't hard. Like, it's okay. Like, it was kind of fun. And, like, I wasn't even stressed about it. And I know I sound kind of weird right now, but yeah, I mean, it's exactly like what Roisin is saying, where there's this expectation now when it's like, well, you know, you've gotten to this certain point, so now you need to fix it. And it's like, it's not that I don't want to quote unquote fix it, but it's not like you can just like not stutter. It's like I stutter.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
That's you know, there's no cure for stuttering. I'm trying to figure out how to speak my best, but that's my point.
I was like very on board with you last time we talked about like having no fear when it comes to public speaking now.
Okay, I might be exaggerating a little, but for the most part.
Sure.
Okay.
Fearless.
But I had an experience this past week that I think I might have oversaid.
Okay, and I was just even thinking that I'm like, this is probably laid it on a little too thick. But I was trying to make a point. But sorry, go ahead.
The majority of the public speaking that I've done is very like stuttering related, which makes it very easy for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, for my job and for I'll just the majority of things I do, like when I'm going to talk in front of a group. Like, not only do they know I stutter, but it's sort of in the realm of the talk.
Sure.
But I had a Passover Seder this past week at my aunt's house, and there was a bunch of people there that I didn't know. And it was, like, the first time in a long time that I sort of had to deal with new people that are not at all tied into like this stuttering or speech world.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a nerve-wracking experience for me, which was extremely eye-opening because I've sort of been in my stuttering bubble for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of those same fears about, like, introducing myself or having to read aloud. It was just very, very strange, and I thought I had kind of moved past all of that stuff.
That makes complete sense. It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And actually, that's probably why it was so easy for me a few weeks ago, because I talked a lot about stuttering. And it, when you're talking about stuttering, it is makes it a lot easier. So that is an excellent point.
Yeah. It does give me – it makes me feel even more respect for you and you, Roisin, that both of your jobs aren't related to stuttering.
Well, Roisin's definitely has it. Like, that's why I love getting your perspective, Roisin, because yours is the most, I think, consistent with other people who are listening to the show, because you're a nurse. You know, you're not in school for speech pathology. You're not a speech pathologist, and you have a job to do, but you know, you stutter.
Mm. Yeah.
You're just like,
yep, that's my life.
It's something. Yeah.
But you know, I haven't had to do any public speaking in recently that is of that variety. You know, it's always seems like there's a certain element of stuttering related stuff to go along with the speech, and that does change things.
Yeah. Yeah. I like find that like now that I'm kind of like settled into to my job, thinking about obviously I have a job where like I'm talking all the time, and so sometimes with people of authority, sometimes to people who I'm taking care of, sometimes to my peers. It's like a very kind of very varied speaking environment. And when I first started, it like was about stuttering. Even if I wasn't giving speeches talking about stuttering, for me, the speaking experience was like so much focused on stuttering. And now I don't really think about it at all at work anymore. And I don't really advertise anymore because I'm not really performing. I'm not really thinking about like how my crowd is perceiving me. I'm just speaking.
And that's even true for like the new patients that you get.
Yeah, I honestly haven't advertised in probably like 6 months.
Do like the new patients you get, like, do they look like they're confused?
No.
So they just it doesn't even faze them that you're stuttering.
No.
I bet a lot of it has to do with just your demeanor, because people pick up on body language so easily and so naturally. Well,
yeah,
the majority of people do, where they'll see it's like, okay, she's a professional, it's not bothering her, you know. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had any like supervisors or anything like question your ability to work?
At my job now, not at all. When I was interviewing for jobs, I had a couple of people who were interviewing me kind of be like, well, like, how is this going to work out?
Yeah.
But I honestly haven't had any, like, strange looks from supervisors or from doctors or with anything at all.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, which is, I haven't really like looked back on it, but that's actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I think that's like one of those realizations in the life where, you know, if you try to measure progress in stuttering management or whatever you want to call it, like, you look to like those anecdotal experiences and you're like, wow, I've come a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it makes you realize that it's totally about you. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are always going to be like, you know, people who are, rude or, insensitive, but like, it's totally about like how you view your speaking experience.
Yeah. But it just sounds to me like it's not, I mean, it's the there, but well, to use Catherine Montgomery's analogy, it's not the hub of the wheel. It's just a spoke on the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Catherine. I always liked that one.
Yeah.
This is David Seidler. I'm a stutterer, and this is Stutter Talk.
My name is Ruben Schaff, and I'm a person who stutters. I'm really excited to announce a new National Stuttering Association TWIST chapter that Rita Thurman and I started in Raleigh, North Carolina. TWIST is Teens Who Stutter, and it's a support group for teens and their families to come and share information and support about stuttering. We meet in Raleigh on the first Wednesday of every month, and you can get more information at the NSA website at westutter.org.
While we were talking about people's reactions, did you guys by chance see the ABC's What Would You Do thing on stuttering?
I didn't get to watch it yet.
Watch it.
It's like 100 people that posted it on Facebook, and I still haven't seen it yet.
It's like a 7-minute long clip, Joel.
Okay.
Not like going to take an absurd amount of time.
Well, no, and I kind of wanted to brag about the fact that we're friends with Alina and we had her on the show and stuff, but
yeah,
I thought, you know, it is cool, you know, you see someone on TV and you're like, hey, I know her.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I've heard it was really amazing and really a positive thing.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. They even put like stuttering facts, like when like for people that don't know, like the idea is that they hired people to tease and bully Alina, and Alina was in on it, and then they taped this to see like if anyone would do anything or step in or stick up for her. And like as the bullies were teasing her, like, oh, what are you scared? Then there'd be like a fact on the screen being like, stuttering is not caused by fear or anxiety or so. I thought it was very, very cool.
Did anyone step in to help her?
Yeah. I mean, there was like a few that didn't, but I was like pretty impressed by how nice everyone was. Like, I don't think I've ever gotten such nice reactions from the public.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It was pretty nuts. Yeah.
Anyway, this is probably a pretty good length.
Yeah, it was such a scattered show.
No, it really had just two pretty central topics.
Yeah, it was good.
More, or three. Should I bring us out?
Bring us out, Joel.
Okay. So that's our show for today. We want to thank you guys for listening, and thanks for continuing to send emails and giving us suggestions for shows and and questions and things like that. Again, if you want to reach us, the email address is bteam@stuttertalk.com. And if you just want to contact Peter or Stutter Talk generally, it's just stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. And actually, this reminds me, Karen, but before we wrap up the show,
yeah.
I remember last show I made a comment, and when I was talking, I was like, geez, I'm not stuttering a lot. I need to stutter more. And you were like, yeah, you should stutter more. But then when I actually listened to the show, uh-huh. I was stuttering just as much as I always do.
What?
I think that, like, I don't know, we should talk about this next show. I think I'm becoming kind of unaware of some of my stuttering. I don't know if that's good or bad.
No, because, I mean, I didn't think you stuttered much, too.
It, you know what? It could have been just like the last few sentences I spoke before I declared or made that declaration, and I in my head I wasn't stuttering very often.
Gotcha.
So then I just, anyway, something to think about.
Yeah, I feel like this show I've been stuttering my head off.
Well, then you'll probably listen to it and not I don't know. Anyway, something to think about, because I was kind of surprised by it.
Huh.
Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Karen and Roisin, until next time.
Sounds good.
Bye.
See ya.